Our first case of the day is State versus Gifford. State versus Gifford.
Good morning, Your Honor. May it please the Court. My name is Mark Grapple, and I represent the appellant in this case, Tyrone Gifford. This is an appeal from the Lancaster County District Court. Essentially, the issue before the Court is whether or not the lower court erred in overruling the defendant's motion to suppress in this case. Judge, the facts are pretty simple. On April 25th of 2014, Mr. Gifford was pulled over, was investigated on suspicion of driving while under the influence of alcohol case. Initially, during the contact, he was very cooperative with law enforcement. He complied with the officer's requests to perform all the standardized field sobriety testing. He submitted to the officer's request to submit to the pulmonary breath test. After the proper waiting period and advisements were given for the pulmonary breath test, Mr. Gifford's PBT result, pulmonary breath test result, was 0.183. Immediately following that pulmonary breath test result, Officer Schaff, the arresting officer in this case, uttered a phrase which I characterized kind of took this case off the rails a little bit. He used the phrase, quote, it's an automatic felon now, based upon the pulmonary breath test result. And the record would reflect, judges, this is not just one comment the officer made. This was a repeated statement the officer made throughout the contact. I estimated in my review with evidence that it was about a 36-minute gap between when the PBT result came in and when Mr. Gifford refused to when he was read the post-arrest chemical test applied to him. And during that period of time, from the scene to the time he was read the post-arrest chemical test applied to him, there were five separate instances where the word felony or the suggestion that a felony was going to be charged against Mr. Gifford based solely upon his PBT result. And I itemized those in my brief. The one occurred right after the pulmonary breath test result. The other occurred as Mr. Gifford and an officer arrived at jail. Mr. Gifford says, quote, so basically I'm just a felon, end quote, to which the officer responded, quote, citation will be for third offense aggravated DUI. It will depend on what happens in court. The third instance happened when he actually entered the jail. Officer Schaff, presumably speaking to a jail staffer, who says, quote, felony DUI. A fourth time happened shortly after that, about 10 seconds later. Again, Officer Schaff heard on the video uttering the words felony DUI. And the fifth time occurred, again, he said the words third aggravated felony DUI. So again, we're talking about five misleading comments. And in about the last of those comments happened about 16 minutes before the post-arrest chemical test was read. Now, in this case,
what's your feeling with the seven ones, which pretty much spelled out what was going to happen? What is the significance of what you're claiming are the misstatements by the officer?
Yes, Judge, that's the issue. It does the fact that the officer properly read the post-arrest chemical test advisement form insulate him from the fact that he misled or misrepresented the law and five times before he read that form. And that's really the issue before this court. It's our position that just because the officer read the form properly, and he didn't say that, he read the form verbatim as the statute required, that didn't alleviate the mistakes that were made by the officer by misleading him to believe it was a felony. I think it's important to note, Judge, that there were a couple different advisements read. It's a little nuanced, but if you go back to the scene, okay, the officer read the defendant the preliminary breath test advisement form. And in that, he said, you're required to submit a preliminary breath test, and if you refuse that test, it's a class 5 misdemeanor. You could be arrested and fined $100, right? And then later, he reads in the chemical test advisement form, and in that, he simply says you could be charged with a separate crime. He doesn't specify the nature of the crime, just a separate crime. But 16 minutes before he read in that form, he's already led Mr. Gifford to believe that he's going to be a felon no matter what. This is an automatic felony based upon preliminary breath test result, which the officer admitted at the suppression hearing was a misstatement of the law.
Wasn't the concern, as I recall reading the record, wasn't the client's concern whether he was going to jail that night or not? It wasn't whether he was going to be a felon or that he was going to be a misdemeanor. It was whether he was going to be in jail.
I believe, Judge, if you watch the video in its entirety, there's two pervasive concerns on my client's part. One is, am I going to jail or am I going to jail? And the officer, again, led him to believe that he was going to jail no matter what, and then later said, well, if you end up being non-aggravated, I'll take you to detox rather than jail. But this was after the fact, after he made the mistake. But there is a pervasive, repeated concern on my client's part about being a felon. In fact, he testified to that. This is my client's stand, testified during the suppression hearing. But even on the video, again, he says, so basically I'm just a felon. He talks about concerns about what his job is going to be, the ability to secure employment with his felony. So he relied upon, to his detriment, he relied upon the misstatement of the law, and that played a role, or likely played a role, in his decision not to take the test. And I think that's the whole issue. I think the implied consent law is designed to make sure that the defendant makes a knowing decision about whether or not to take this test. And in this case, I think the fact that the officer is the one who volunteered the automatic felony measures. This wasn't a situation where Mr. Gifford was questioning the officer multiple times about what would happen if this happened, if I took this road, or what happened if I took this road. It was the officer who took this off the rails by saying, PBT over 0.15, you're an automatic felon. And at that point, I think the evidence would support that Mr. Gifford was not cooperative. At that point, he started becoming more combative and more argumentative with the officer, but it happened solely upon the, again, acting up to the misstatement of the law. And I do believe, obviously, this is an issue of due process. Criminal prosecutions must comport with notions of fundamental fairness, and fundamental fairness is a touchstone of due process. And I believe that it would be fundamentally unfair and violate people's sense of justice to have an officer misstate the law to somebody before they have them take the test, and then somehow be insulated from any sort of due process or simply by reading the statute. And I think the state would characterize this as a duty to advise. And the state would argue that Officer Schaff complied with his duty to advise by reading the post-arrest chemical test advising statute. But I also believe this is a duty not to misadvise. I think this extends further than just their duty to advise. The officer also has a fundamental fairness point to not misadvise somebody as to what the consequence is going to be.
Well, the officer didn't misadvise as to what the consequence of not taking the test was. He told him he would be charged with a separate crime if he didn't take it.
Yes, that is correct. He did properly read the advisement in terms of being charged with a separate crime. But again, by volunteering this extra information, it caused undue confusion. And that confusion was caused solely by the officer, not by Officer Mr. Gifford asking the questions. The officer volunteered this.
Well, what's confusing about saying if you don't take the chemical test, you're charged with a separate crime?
Again, I think if you read it in its context, if you follow the chain of events, at the scene, you don't take the preliminary breath test, it's a classified misdemeanor, it's facing $100 fine. Right after the preliminary breath test, you're an automatic felon. Down in detox, you have to take this test with a separate crime. He's been told different penalties applied to different offenses. A reasonable person in my client's position would not have assumed that the word separate crime, chemical test advisement, would mean automatic felon. He's already been told he's going to be a felon based upon a PBT result. And had he not taken a PBT result, he would have been classified misdemeanor $100 fine. And again, this is only confusing, and only the monies are only getting watered because the officer is the one who volunteered this information. Again, I could see if the defendant had been asking questions or caused the confusion by asking some questions that maybe made things unclear, but this was all the officer's fault. And I think it's a fundamental due process right for the officer not to be allowed to misstate the law and then potentially have the defendant rely upon that.
And I was calling the facts correctly. This client had two prior DUIs.
That is correct.
So this is not the first time you've presented on the road to the if this were a first offense, there might be a little more strength to the argument, but the fact that this is the third time now, how has he been used when he's already had two priors?
Judge, I think that actually bolstered his argument because he's been through the process before. He's every other time he's been in a misdemeanor. Every other time he's gone to detox. Now he's being told because of a pulmonary breath test result, he's a felon. And I think that cuts against that position. I think that supports my position that this confusion was caused by the officers volunteering information that he didn't have to volunteer. And just from a fundamental fairness aspect, I just don't think from a public policy standpoint, we should have officers advising people, misadvising people of penalties, and then being insulated simply because they read the form when the officer is the one who caused this confusion in the first place. And I'd like to reserve my remaining time for questions. Thank you.
Mr. Rowe?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Okay. please report. My name is Austin Ralph, and I'm from the state of Nebraska. The sole issue on appeal is whether the district court promptly overrules this motion to suppress evidence in front of the accusal. I set forth in my brief on the petition basically that there were no grounds for suppression. The contrary gives the argument the omission or use of evidence of accusal did not violate due process principles. Accordingly, the district court promptly overruled the motion to suppress and has been raised an issue on appeal. Yes, this court to affirm the judgment below. I wanted to address.
Was there any question on what the officer told him was inaccurate?
Well, like I said in my brief, I disagree with the characterization of it as being false, misleading, and confusing. At most, it's slightly inaccurate because he had two priors. The officer had confirmed that. The PVP read 0.183, and the 0.183, if the chemical test actually confirms that, it's, an aggravated felony. So the class 3 felony.
It's 0.15, and anything over would be the aggravated.
Right. Now, the statement, basically, if you take the defense approach, assume that the PVP result was basically the NLB, all then yes, it's slightly inaccurate. Had to be confirmed by a chemical test. Right. It would be inaccurate if you read it that way. I guess when I'm looking at it, it's the officer saying, well, 0.83, I'm investigating class 3A aggravated felony. But yes, it would be inaccurate if you read the officer's comment as saying PBT alone, it's an aggravated felony. But I guess our position is that it's not fundamentally unfair because, and I think that's the framework that I set forth in my brief. But there's no fundamental unfairness because the misstatement or the inaccuracy relates to the DUI. It doesn't relate to the consequences of refusal at all. Consequences of refusal, as the officer said in his advisement, was you will be charged with a separate crime if you refuse this kind of test.
Advisement indicate possible penalties for
refusal? I don't believe it did.
Earlier, he told me that he was going to use $700 bond.
Well, that was as to the PVT test.
Do you think you're not a reasonable person out in the community with 17 drinks?
Well, I mean, that's sort of the underlying assumption on statutory advisement to begin with is that we give these advisements to let people know that refusal is a violation of separate crimes. The PVT is a separate statutory section, and that one was classified misdemeanor as the advised. Chemical test, however, is all that is required to be.
So why do we advise what the penalty is for the infraction, not
Well, I'm not entirely sure. If I looked at the statute, I think I don't have it before me immediately, but I think the PVT one requires that be advised that it's a classified misdemeanor. The chemical test, however, requires only that it be advised that it's a separate crime. The Iraq Supreme Court has repeatedly said that's the only thing that needs to be revised up. No other consequences would require a state determiner or 2002 case. And that's by statute.
And now you put on top of that, the officer's going to go over the felony.
Well, there is that automatic felony question, yes, but that is completely separate, again, from the consequences of refusal. The fact that the officer says, hey, this is an aggravated felony, not your automatic. It's an automatic felony. It relates only to the DUI charge. It has nothing to do with the PVP. At that point, all I was looking at is the PAC and the PVP, and he says automatic felony.
That's what I'm saying. But the officer communicated.
Sure. Yeah, right.
The officer communicated a false statement, inaccurate, and then says if you don't take a hit state, separate offense, without felony, not penalty, which I agree. You don't have to do that. But you combine those two things together, I don't know how a person who may or may not be able to influence alcohol can make an intelligent decision because they're already upset. And now they've got false information.
Well, Your Honor, I guess I'd reemphasize that false information, the inaccurate information, again, putting aside sort of the degree of inaccuracy, was related only to the charge of the DUI, the possible penalties for the DUI. The advisement regarding the refusal is completely clear. It's not misleading. It's completely separate crimes. And it says
it's misleading when you put something together because you've just been told that it doesn't take a preliminary test. It's an infraction.
I would disagree, Your Honor. I think these are all separate things. The misstatement of the officer relates to the DUI. The advisement regarding the PBT is a separate misdemeanor offense. The advisement regarding the...
I'm talking about the person that's out there driving the vehicle.
Sure. I mean, that seems to me to be more of a concern with the underlying statutory scheme and the legislative requirement that we give these advisements, by assuming that they understand them. But that's not the issue. That's not the court here. I think the issue is simply was it misleading or confusing, and it's not. It's saying if you refuse, you are guilty of another crime, and you may be charged with that. And the misstatement that the officer made here had nothing to do with the consequences of refusal. And I think that's the distinguishing factor between this case and all the cases cited by the defendant, all the Georgia Court of Appeals cases, state of state, in Maine, I found some other cases in federal courts, that the due process concerns comes into play when the misstatement relates to the consequences of refusal or to sort of an objective, if it's objectively relevant to the decision whether to take the test, if it undermines the substance of the advisement. None of that occurred here. The misstatement relates to DUI. There was nothing misleading or confusing about the advisement regarding refusal. You can charge with several crimes. And I think the record shows, and I think the district court conclusion, that he did not rely on the alleged misstatement for refusing the test. He did it to be different. He understood completely what was going on. And in fact, Your Honor, now that I recall, at the motion to suppress hearing, he testifies that he understood the advisement. And I don't recall the exact page, I believe it's 42 of the bill of exceptions. It's in my brief, though. He testified that he understood the advisement, that he understood that the decision was being asked to make, that he chose not to take the test. So the concern I think that you have about whether a drunk person would understand the advisement to begin with was present there. So
had he had a refusal in the past when the two prior incidents are...
I think they got into that a little bit on the... cross-examination as a motion to suppress, and I don't believe that he testified, I think, that he had never had that issue before. There's some implication, perhaps, of whether he had taken the test before, but I have to test it for a while since I've read the bill of acceptance, so I don't recall perfectly on there.
As I read the record, given his statement, I'm already telling what's the matter. Is it your interpretation that his position is, because I was already advised that I was a felon, it didn't matter if I didn't have a reputation?
I guess when I read that, his concern, Gifford, was that it seemed like more or less, you told me I was already a felon, so I was upset, and I decided that I'm just not going to cooperate anymore. Like I said, I don't think that affects, and it's not a due process concern. Whether the advisement is given properly word for word, he understands the advisement, and he chooses to refuse the chemical test, that's it. I don't think any misstatement regarding a separate crime before has anything to do with whether it's fundamentally unfair to admit the admission or admit the evidence of his refusal later. And again, I guess I was a bit confused by Mr. Rappel's reply brief and his sort of emphasis today on five misleading comments. It seemed to me from his brief that he was really concerned with the automatic felony limit that happened one time. And I think really that's the concern, is that automatic, that term, rather than saying, you know, you're being investigated for aggravated DUI or for a felony. Again, I think it was the automatic limit that was the inaccuracy of the officer's statement, as opposed to referencing, well, you know, I'm investigating you for aggravated DUI based on your DUI. And I don't think it's, I disagree with the interpretation of their definition. We recognize that there's a duty to not misadvise regarding the consequences of refusal, but it is not, again, the consequences of refusal at issue here, or in the statement, it was just a completely separate issue. He was given the advisement word for word verbatim, he understood it, he refused the test. There's no due process concern using the evidence of that refusal. Unless there are any other questions.
Thank you.
He has 50 seconds.
50 seconds.
Thank you, Your Honor. I actually wanted to respond to the states, concern as to why I mentioned five states. I actually did that in my reply then, because the states reply came to mind initially. And the state argued that there was just one misrepresentation on the officer's part, and that there was a significant time gap between the automatic felony statement and advising them at the jail. But in actuality, there was multiple mentions that this was an aggravated service, this is a felony, more than one time. So I believe I used that, responded that, and I did do that in my reply brief.
Mr. Rapp, what's your position on why your client refused to come to testify?
I believe the video speaks for itself, and I believe the record speaks for itself, that my client felt that at that point, he'd already told he was a felon. It didn't matter what he was going to do from that point forward. He knew it was going to be a felon, and he was already automatic felon. The word automatic felon comes from the officer's word. Automatic. Not possible, you may be, you're an automatic felon. And that's my interpretation of the application.
Thank you. Case is submitted.